Take just a second, and I want you to turn to somebody near you, greet somebody near you, and ask them, do you want to follow Jesus? Go ahead and do that. What's up, man? I'm glad you're back.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hey, Lisa. How you doing?
Good to see you.
Follow Jesus. Good to have Chris back with us, isn't it? Let me ask you another question. Are you a Christian? Well, many, many people in our country would probably say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But what does that mean? Well, a part of it, where it derived its name long ago, was the followers of Jesus. Those who were following Christ, those who were following the way back then, as they called it. They became known as Christians. People started calling them Christians. And the word meant little Christ. In other words, you've got Jesus Christ, but then his followers, I guess to everybody who looked at him, everybody who observed these followers of this Jesus, I guess they look like little Christ. I guess they started to kind of look like him. You follow him and you start to look like him and act like him and talk like him. And so they were referred to as little Christs, these followers of Jesus, Christians. And so a Christian is a little Christ. It's someone who's following Jesus who looks like Jesus, begins to look more and more like Jesus the longer they follow. Well, Jesus called these 12 disciples, and as he called them, he would say just two words. He would say, follow me. And then some of them, were told in the scripture, just left everything. They had their business. They had the way they made money. They had their, I think about Peter, who had his fishing business and pulled that boat up on the shore. The scripture says, and left everything and followed Jesus. What about you? Have you heard him call? In your life, have you heard him say, follow me? You might not hear an audible voice today, but have you heard him? Have you heard him drawing you? Have you sensed something in your spirit where the living God is trying to reach you and he's calling you and the voice of Jesus is whispering to you, follow me? Have you heard that call? Maybe you have. Maybe you can pin down a date. You can say, oh, yes, when I was a little girl, I was 8 years old. I remember it to this day. I heard his call, and I stepped out, and I, so to speak, left everything I knew back then, and I followed him. Or maybe it was later in life. Maybe you were in your later years. Maybe you were in your 80s. I once met a lady that was over 100 that, and only God knows the heart. Maybe she had known something before, but she truly didn't seem to have her faith in just Jesus alone to save her. And I remember praying with her. Doesn't matter the age, but have you heard the call, follow me? And just stepped out and followed him. I like to tell people, often ask me when I'm in a conversation with somebody, you meet somebody for the first time, you start talking. Many times I try to bring up something about church or whatever. You know, do you go to a church anywhere? And just because I love people and I know I'm called to be not only his disciple and his follower, but I'm called to do what he does, and he seeks and saves that which is lost. So I know that my mission, I know my goal is to love Him with all that I am and love my neighbor as myself. And I know that He wants me to go and make disciples and help people to come to know Him. So oftentimes, many times, when I'm talking to somebody for the first time, I'll try to kind of get in a spiritual conversation so I can maybe find out, well, is this already a follower? Do they already know Jesus? Great. Hey, let's talk about Him together and let's praise Him together. Or is this somebody maybe who is searching? They don't know Jesus. And so oftentimes in that conversation, many times I'll start the spiritual part with something like, do you go to a church anywhere? Here in Alabama and in the Bible Belt, that's a common day question for anybody. Do you go to a church anywhere? And everybody I talk to will answer that question. And if they don't, they'll, no. I was talking to a little girl last night at Anna's softball game. A little girl on her team and her dad's the coach. And we just found out they live in our neighborhood, live in Bellhurst, Martha. Wherever. But anyway, live in our neighborhood. And my daughter, Anna, and this little girl were sitting there together. We were waiting in the concession line after the game and talking. And I can't remember how it got brought up, but there was something spiritual going on. We were talking about something spiritual. And she just looked up and she said, we don't go to church anywhere. We don't go to church. And that's okay. We kept up our conversation and we'll invite her sometime. Hopefully we'll get that opportunity. But even in the smallest conversation, it can lead to that. And many times people will ask you, and I've found they'll ask me, well, what are you? Once you start talking about something spiritual, what are you? And I know what they want to know. They want to know, are you Baptist or Presbyterian or Catholic or non-denominational? Are you Pentecostal? What are you? I know that's what they're asking. And before I tell, and I'm a Southern Baptist with all that I am, but before I tell anybody that I'm Baptist or I'm a Southern Baptist, what I like to tell them is I'm a follower of Jesus. I just follow Jesus. That's who I am. I know what they're looking for. Are you Baptist? What are you? But no, that's what I truly am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And Baptist just happens to be how I feel like everything in the Scripture fits the best with my denomination. But above everything, I'm just a follower of Jesus. I try to follow Him with all that I am. And I believe His Word, and I believe it's totally true. And He's changed my life. And that's the question this morning. Are you a follower? Not are you a Baptist? Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you following Jesus this morning? Are you His disciple? And then let me ask you this. Are you willing to follow Him right now? Maybe you want to get better at that. Maybe you're not sure if you're a follower. You're kind of thinking about some things here. But the question this morning is, are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to hear His call and follow Him? And particularly at this season in Christendom and in the church, what an incredible time. We now begin today Passion Week or Holy Week. Those terms are used interchangeably. What is that? Well, it's the last week of Jesus Christ's earthly life. It begins today on Palm Sunday when He came in riding on the donkey, and as we've sung about and talked about and prayed about, and they laid the branches down, and the King of Kings came riding in on the donkey, and the people praised Him. But then it goes on throughout this week, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, and then we have Good Friday where He went to the cross and He died for our sins, and then Saturday, and then He rose Sunday. And so the question is, are you willing to follow Him? First of all, this week, begin today, and then follow Him throughout that week, that Passion Week, this week as we go along in this special time. But then, not only this week, but beyond, just to follow Him with all that you are. Turn to Luke chapter 19. And listen to this in verse 28. the triumphal entry. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. Excuse me. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Let's pray together. Oh, Father, please take your word and apply it to our lives. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear your call to follow you. And help us to heed it and do it with all that we are. Let us hear your voice. Move me aside. Speak to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear Jesus say this morning to you, "As you follow me from the colt to the cross," that's this Passion Week. Hear him say a few things to you through this passage this morning. Hear him say, "Obey me. Obey me." In verses 35 to 36, Jesus gave specific instructions. He sent his disciples and he told them what they would see. He's God in the flesh. He knows what's up there. He told them what they would see, what they would find, and what to do. And then, can you imagine having to go and go up? What would it be today? I guess it'd be a car today. Can you imagine Jesus being here today and he says, "Hey, go downtown. You'll find a beautiful two-door Mercedes it'll be on Bibb Street, and go down there and then go ahead and open it up and get in the door and just drive it back to me. If somebody says, 'What are you doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Now, when you walked up and you found that Mercedes just as he said, and the owner was standing right there waiting to get into a restaurant, would you feel awkward? Would you? I would kind of hesitate to just open the door and start to get in. The owner watching me. And you know what? Jesus just said, just tell him, "The Lord needs it." Just a few words. Just say that. You know what I'd probably say? Start to open the door and start to get in, and that man would come walking out. "What do you think you're doing?" No telling what I'd say. I'm so sorry. Listen, Jesus Christ is my Lord. He can do anything. He is God in the flesh. And he told me that he needs this. You see what I'm saying? I'd go way beyond, probably, knowing me, what Jesus said. All I'm supposed to do is be getting in the car and say, "The Lord needs it." And everything would turn out fine. That would be full obedience, wouldn't it? That'd be immediate obedience. That'd be obedience when I didn't understand what was going on. Hear Jesus say this morning, "If you're going to follow me, obey me." And we need to obey him in those three ways. We talked about it last week. Obey him when you don't understand. Obey him fully, completely, just like they did. And obey him immediately, without hesitation. He's faithful. He will bring blessing. He's faithful to every promise he has ever made in his word and to you. He cannot go against him. You can trust him. You can trust his word. Keep wisdom in view, the Scripture says. That's His will, knowing His will. Keep that in view. Don't look around saying, oh, you know, I think I've got the answer, but let me look over here, maybe. No. Keep wisdom in view. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, as it tells us in Hebrews 12. Well, secondly, as you follow me, hear Him say, as you follow me from the colt to the cross, give to me. Give to me. Obey me and give to me. In 35 through 36, did you notice that the people gave what they had to advance the kingdom? They put their cloaks. That was their outer garment that they wore. That was their clothing. They took off what they had for the Lord Jesus. Jesus needed to come riding into Jerusalem. That was a part of the plan. And they wanted to help that come along. So they put their cloaks on the donkey so he could get on. And then they laid them on the road. They laid out a path for him. They put palm branches down on the road. They gave him what they had. And, you know, when a king comes in, I'm sure you've seen the red carpet before. Let's roll out the red carpet. The king walks on the red carpet. Well, that's what they were doing in a sense. This king is coming riding into town, bringing peace, riding in on a donkey. They laid everything down. They gave what they had to get Jesus a little bit further down the road to what He's trying to do, to what He's trying to accomplish. Well, you know, He's working today, just like He did then. Nothing's different. He's working just like He did then, advancing His kingdom, trying to draw more and more people to Himself. What do you have that you can give Him to get Him a little bit further down the road? What do you have that you can lay down, that you can give up, that you can give to Him to advance His kingdom? Moses had a staff. God said to him, Moses was saying, I can't do your will. I'm paraphrasing. But Moses was saying, I can't do your will, God. Oh my goodness. Go to Pharaoh, go to the king of all of Egypt and tell him, set God's people free, let the Hebrews go. I can't do that, Lord. And God said to him, what's that in your hand? He had a staff in his hand. God said, throw it down. He threw it down and it became a snake. God said, pick it up again by the tail. And it turned back into a staff. God was going to take something that He had. God can use it to advance His kingdom. What do you have? What's God saying to you? What's that in your hand? Maybe it's a talent that He's given you. Maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's some skills, some interest that you have, a passion in your heart that you have for something, something you like to do. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's your work. I don't know what it is. But you've got time. You've got talents that God has given you. And everybody's got them. You can't say, oh, I don't have any talent. No. He's wired you a certain way. Got time, talent. You just got to find it. You've got treasures. You've got resources. You've got things that you could give. Maybe finances that you could give. What do you have that you'll give to advance His kingdom that He can use? I'll give you an example. Now you might see this in just a second and disagree with me, but I've always believed that I had some talent in art all my life growing up. You know, I always heard that and stuff. And so I've taken that and I said, God, how could I use that for Your glory? And He's kind of laid something on my heart, and it's an outreach ministry now that I just kind of do on the side of whatever I'm doing. But I call it Spoken to the Heart. And simply taking something that God has given me and saying, hey, how can I advance Your kingdom, Jesus? How can I get a little further down the road, help people to know You? Well, this is called Spoken to the Heart. And so I'll do a painting or take a picture or something. I love the beaches and the Emerald Coast. And this is one I did for my daughter this Christmas. But I'll take something and I'll try to use that talent. And then I've got a little booklet that I've written called Spoken to the Heart. It has a little logo. And this is a gospel presentation that I've written in this little booklet. And why is it called Spoken of the Heart? Because after I finish anything, I pray about it and I say, God, what scripture do you want with it? What goes with this? And so I sign my name and I have a reference, Psalm 55:22a. Well, that says, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. And I always think of a beautiful Gulf of Mexico scene and taking all my cares and giving them to Jesus and watching Him, like with a fishing pole on one of those piers, just cast those all into the depths of that sea and just watching them all disappear and hearing Him say, I'll take care of it, I'll fix it, I'll sustain you, like that ocean is God, and He'll sustain me, He'll take care of it. And then there's a gospel presentation written in the booklet. And so the whole point of this is, if somebody maybe finds a painting or something that they like, maybe they buy it or I give it to them or whatever, well, maybe it'll be an atheist. And maybe one day they'll just like this picture. Maybe one day they'll see that verse and they'll just say, I just got to see what that says. Then all of a sudden they have God's Word open before them. And as they read, God speaks to their heart. So it's called Spoken to the Heart. That's one example. What is something you use? Maybe you've never thought about your work as a way to advance the kingdom, or your hobby, or something, or a talent. There's a man, he's passed away now, his name was Larry Burkett. And he was just a financial wizard. Loved financial things. That was his thing, finances. Well, he founded a ministry called Christian Financial Concepts. Now it's called Crown Ministries. And he just helps people manage their money in all these ways. But it's all Christian. You can come to know the Lord. Thousands of people have come to know the Lord through His financial knowledge. Well, what is it for you? What's that thing that you need to give to Him? So hear Him say, obey me, give to me. And then hear Him say, praise me, praise me. Verses 37 to 40, they couldn't stop giving praise. I like what Neil said, waving the palm branches. Just, you can just see them saying, Hosanna in the highest. Praise, blessed is the name of the Lord. Praising Him. He is worthy of our praise. And you know, we need to praise Him in the good and the bad. Sometimes we just feel like praising Him when things are good. Sometimes praise comes off, it rolls off our tongues and our lips when things are great, but do you praise Him when things are horrible? Tragedy has struck. Things are awful. We're to praise Him then too. Because He hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're to praise Him then. And you know what? In a funny way, in His own way, He'll give you His perspective on it. And that thing, that tragedy, that horrible thing, if you'll start to praise Him in the midst of it and get your focus on Him and off of it, you know what? All of a sudden you get His perspective. Things change. I remember having an awful day one day and driving down, I was on the Southern Bypass, and I remember it hit me, just praise the Lord. And I thought, oh, I don't feel like it. That's the hardest thing in the world to do right now. But I did it. I obeyed. I started praising Him. Oh, man, I was... It changed my whole perspective. Things got better. Now I was just having a bad day. But it works the same. You might be having a horrible tragedy right now. Praise Him. Do you praise Him always? If you can't think of anything to praise Him, we go through the alphabet and think of something each letter. Lord, I praise You because You're A, awesome. Lord, I praise You because You're B, beautiful. Well, finally, as you follow Him, hear Him say this morning, as you follow Me from the colt to the cross, obey Me, give to Me, praise Me, and recognize Me. Recognize Me. Jesus' heart grieved over Jerusalem. God in the flesh, Almighty God, had been there among the city of Jerusalem, doing all these miracles, walking on water, doing all these things. And He spoke over the city as a whole, and He said, oh, you didn't recognize God's coming to you. He was saying, me, God, I'm here. You're about to nail Me to a cross. Do you recognize His coming to you? Don't grieve His heart. Recognize His coming to you. He's revealed Himself, His ways, and His expectations right here. If you want to see Him, just pick up God's Word and begin to read. Read with an open heart. Say, God, speak to me. You'll see Him. Recognize Him through His Word. Pray, God, open my eyes. Wake up in the morning, spend some time with Him in His Word and just talking to Him and pray. And maybe you need to pray it often throughout the day. Lord, open my eyes of faith. Lord, help me to see You and where You're working all around me. Lord, I'm blind. I don't see where You're working. I don't know where You are. I don't know what You're doing. Lord, open my eyes. And He will. Show me what You're doing. Open my eyes. Open my spiritual ears. Open my heart. We need to recognize Him. Do you see Him all around you? Working? Pray like the prophet did for his servant. They were being surrounded by the enemies, and the servant was terrified. And the prophet was at peace. Why? Well, he prayed for his servant, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then God opened his eyes, and he could see the spiritual. They were surrounded by angels, chariots of fire. They had nothing to worry about. Pray that God will show you. What is He doing? Where is He working around you? See Jesus. Recognize Him. Recognize His coming to you today. Perhaps at this moment, perhaps as you hear these words, invite Him. Invite Him to come into your life. Hear Him say, follow me, and you respond. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we thank You for this picture. Lord, we praise You that it's Palm Sunday, Lord. And Lord, I know that You call each of us in this sanctuary to follow Me. Lord, would You help every person here to hear Your voice, Lord? Help all of us to obey You when we don't understand and fully, immediately. Help us to live that way. Help us to give to You. Lord, show us what we've got. Lord, let us hear You say, what's that in Your hand? Lord, let us give to You and let You use it. Advance Your kingdom. But help us to release to You everything that we have, every relationship. Lord, help us to praise You, even when it's tough. Lord, help us to recognize You and You're working all around us as individuals and as Highland Avenue Baptist Church. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who hears You calling, Lord, may they step out of their seat right now as Chris leads us in this. In this song, Lord, there's room at the cross. Let them know that You've got open arms and You're calling them. And help them to step out and just walk to You or run to You, whatever they prefer, and just come to You. Lord, if there's someone who You're calling to join this church, Lord, tell them clearly right now. May they hear Your voice. May they step out and join this church. We give You all these things. And Lord, any decision, burden our hearts with whatever You're telling us. And may we obey You. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.